program does not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of the staff and management of Tri-Scepter Productions or the Superhuman Channel. Tri-Scepter Productions and the Superhuman Channel are not responsible for any claims, warranties, or guarantees made during this program.
Prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled.
From the Studio Gym, where excuses never apply.
It's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
Hey, welcome back to Superhuman Radio. You know, I always complain on this show that quite often we do not use our critical thinking skills when it comes to our own health. We take whatever other people tell us as gospel truth and we run with it. We don't look back. We don't hearken back to our past and look at our ancestors and see if what we're being told today by the medical orthodoxy played out in the past as well. What is it that's changed? Why are we being told this? And quite often we're afraid to buck the system, to tell our physician, you know, we really don't think we're right about this. Gee, I don't think you're correct about this, because we think that doctors are gods, that they know everything. And clearly we're finding out more and more so now that not only do they not know anything, everything, but quite often they have an agenda that's been promoted by the pharmaceutical industry to sell us drugs at younger and younger ages so that millions and millions of dollars are siphoned off from our hard work earnings to give to pharmaceutical companies for drugs that we really don't really need in the first place. Very few people I've found in the past, like my guest today, Dr. Peter Rouse, very few people challenge common thought today the way he does. In fact, he's the first person who made me start thinking about fiber. And we all embrace fiber. The more, the better. And then Peter was the first person to say, you know, too much fiber may not be a good idea. And I started thinking about that. Very few people really challenge. And the discussion that we're going to have today requires a mind that challenges, because we're going to go after somebody whose name is hallowed ground in the medical orthodoxy, and that is Dr. Louis Pasteur. Welcome to the show, Peter Rouse. How are you doing?
I'm good, thanks, Cal. How are you going?
Very good, very good. You know, we owe, or at least we're told we owe, Dr. Louis Pasteur a great debt of gratitude for so many things. Now, first of all, before we get into the nonsense that he promoted that ended up becoming the basis for a lot of what is considered the bastion of medical orthodoxy today, let's talk about something that could qualify our questioning him, and that is the fact that he may have perpetrated one of the most heinous crimes in science, and that is plagiarism. In fact, is it not true that many of the germ theories were actually promoted probably 100 years or so before Pasteur by an Italian scientist?
Actually, it was 200 years beforehand.
And we're not talking about something vague. I mean, detailed work that Pasteur just used and regurgitated in his own handwriting. So, and he knew that no one would find it because it was 200 years old.
And also, the difference also was the fact that he had the advantage of using a microscope to expand some of that work. So he was able to kind of pretty much relabel it to his own name.
Yeah, so he added a 10% of new stuff and then said, this is all mine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
And it's
nothing that's uncommon today. If you look at the research today and what's happening today, it's a story is very similar to what's happening today.
As far as plagiarism goes, you mean?
Well, just the way that research is performed.
Well, but the whole story
of Louis Pasteur is being played out every day in the field of research, medical research anyway, at least, as we speak by now.
Right. Okay. Now let's do this. The reason we're calling Dr. Pasteur's credibility into question is to, first of all, to illustrate that he was not an honest person, number one. And the reason that this is important is because he wanted to promote this concept that he himself may have found was not accurate. And some say, Randy Roach was the one who told me that there is some writings out there that claim that on his deathbed, Pasteur recanted his germ theory and said that it has nothing to do with the germ, it has everything to do with the environment of the body. But no one wants to promote that because then he would be stripped of all of this credibility, and more importantly, the foundation for the pharmaceutical agenda would be stripped as well.
Well, the entire modern medicine system is based on this germ theory, and it's, you know, in their best interest to keep this down because the fact that, you know, this is going to cost them trillions of dollars if this information came out. The whole basis of the germ theory is wrong, and we'll talk about that today, but, you know, the fact that they're trying to promote a theory that is actually wrong, just so they can actually sell more drugs. Basically, it's actually a drug agenda.
That's right. And let's face it, we've seen this time and time again. To think that the pharmaceutical industry and the medical orthodoxy are somehow altruistic, and they don't have an agenda of profit, you're just fooling yourself. This is all about profits. And clearly, when profits are high, you don't want to screw up your model and say, hey, you know, we need to go back to the drawing board and come up with some new drugs because we found out that you really don't need these things. These things are not doing what we thought they were doing. And so they're not going to come forth and say anything like that today. And you know, they have a big advantage. People listening to this show who have never listened to this show before will probably say that we're conspiracy theorists and this is nonsense. And if it was true, it would be talked about on mainstream media. But mainstream media can't talk about these things because they have billions of dollars in advertising revenues from the pharmaceutical giants, and they're not going to bite the hand that feeds them.
I mean, I don't watch TV, but what I've seen is that, you know, you look at the adverts run between shows. I'd say probably 2/3 of them are actually drug-related adverts.
So and the other third is food. And the other third is food.
Yeah, and it's actually, you know, industrialized food, of course.
Yes, and that's what I mean. McDonald's, you know what I mean. The other third is food, and then you look at this, the looming cloud that by 2030, 50% of America will be obese. And keep in mind what that means to the rest of us, that we will be the ones working to keep them alive, because the pharmaceutical agenda will embrace these obese people. Obesity is a bigger challenge than terrorism today. Obesity is terrorism at home, and it's being promoted by the food and drug manufacturers.
Well, I think actually we're closer to that obesity number now than we like to think. I think the big problem is that they have shifted that mark from what they call, you know, overweight to being obese. So what most people consider obese these days is usually, you know, it's massive, where, you know, maybe 40 years ago what we'd consider obese would be much lower.
Yeah, we've actually talked about this. We've talked about this on this show when we were talking about Michelle Obama. Now, today, what is considered obese used to be called morbidly obese. In other words, you were so obese that it was threatening to shorten your lifespan. Now we just call those people obese. Now the morbidly obese people, they must be above 400 pounds to be considered morbidly obese. So we've actually pushed the threshold out to accommodate the shift in body mass in society.
Well, they've just changed the figures to suit the model.
Right. Exactly. So let's start delving into this, because when you start looking at this stuff, you don't have to be a scientist to think about this sort of stuff. You don't have to be a scientist. This is going to be really easy for everybody to understand. And maybe that's the problem. Maybe science creates this luster, and people go, well, that has to be accurate because it's science. I can't trust my own judgment because I am not applying these scientific standards to my own thought process. But you don't have to be a scientist to look at some of this stuff. The germ theory in basic says a germ like tuberculin, if you come in contact with it, you will develop tuberculosis, correct?
That's correct.
Okay. But we know, let's just talk about tuberculosis for a second, that we know that people who came in contact with those who were sick with tuberculosis, not everybody caught tuberculosis. So then you scratch your head and say, wonder why. Did the tuberculosis germ not leap far enough into that person's body? Did it not get into that person's body through a scratch or a wound? So you start questioning yourself, right?
Yeah. So, I mean, it's a lot more complex subject than that.
Right. And clearly not enough is paid attention to the organism of the person itself, immune system of that person, and also other conditions that may be making that person a perfect host or not a perfect host. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
So what I was going to say, you've got to look at there's a inverse relationship between the two thought patterns where, you're looking at the germ theory and you look at the cellular theory. As you look at the cellular theory, that's basis is on creating health, where the germ theory is based on preventing disease. So as you improve your health state, your need for preventing disease goes down. So that's where you got to look at this model. So, the whole basis of this, the entire AMA and the modern medical model is based on preventing disease, based on Pasteur's research, which we know is falsified, and much of it is plagiarized as well. But the whole basis is that if you're looking at the host itself, the organism itself, and the health of that organism, then there's a direct inverse relationship between that, because the fact that if the health of the organism is such that it prevents disease, then you do not need to look at even preventing disease and even look at Pasteur's model.
Okay, let's take our first commercial break. When we come back, I want to talk about how Pasteur's theories were flawed, and also some of those flaws were evidenced by himself, correct?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So let's take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we'll pick it up. We're talking with Dr. Peter Rouse. You can learn more about Peter Rouse by going to AFPerformanceCenter.com. We'll be right back. Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right, buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household. From the most advanced supplement company on the planet, Primordial Performance, comes the new Andro series. Andro Lean is a thermogenic aid that will promote lipolysis and incinerate body fat. Andro Mass creates explosive gains and is highly anabolic. Andro Hard will turn your muscles into granite hard stone while increasing sex drive and maximizing strength. The Andro series represents the most advanced delivery systems available anywhere. These are non-methylated and completely liver safe and non-toxic. Buy one or stack all of the new Andro series products today at primordialperformance.com. I've never felt a pump from taking a supplement. That's until I tried creatine nitrate from APS Nutrition. I expected to feel nothing, just like the NO supplements I had taken before. But this stuff really does work. Even taking below the recommended dose, I could feel the sensation of tighter muscles under the swelling effect of the pump. And the pump lasts for a few hours. It worked for me and I was a skeptic. Check out creatine nitrate by visiting APSNutrition.com today. Try it and you'll be a believer too. No other peptide supplier has a more complete offering than Southern Research Companies. And no other peptide supplier can boast that all their research peptides are manufactured inside the United States in Tier 1 labs. Whether you're looking for IGF-1 Long R3, GHRP6, GHRP2, Melanotan 2, Mechano Growth Factor, or PT-141, or hard-to-find peptides like Triptorelin or Follistatin, you'll find them at Southern Research Companies. Free shipping on orders over $150. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Southern Research banner ad today and do business with the most trusted name in research peptides, Southern Research Companies. 6-Oxo is back thanks to Iron Mag Lab, the gold standard for testosterone boosting and estrogen reduction that all other over-the-counter aromatase inhibitors are compared to, is 6-oxoprogesterone. 6-oxo is the active ingredient in the new E-Control RX from Iron Mag Labs. Iron Mag Labs has resurrected the beast that has been clinically shown to raise free testosterone by as much as 226%. As men age, estrogen rises and testosterone drops. E-Control RX can help reverse this from happening. E-Control RX is suitable for post-cycle therapy to jumpstart
jumpstart natural testosterone production. Get E-Control RX today. Go to ironmaglabs.com today.
Melatonin is the best sleep aid in the world, but it has one flaw, the delivery method. Melatonin tablets are not efficient and can wear off too soon, leaving you wide awake in the middle of the night. Time-release tablets make you feel groggy in the morning. Now there's the Age 4 Sustained Delivery Melatonin Patch. This transdermal patch delivers a precise amount of melatonin from the moment you apply it and continues to do so for an entire 6 hours. This ensures a full night's sleep while waking refreshed and ready to go. Visit ageforce.com and use the coupon code SHRMEL and save 50% off your first order. Go to AGEFORCE.com and use SHRMEL today and sleep better tomorrow.
Listen strong. It's Superhuman Radio.
Yo, mic check. Yeah, here you go. But nah, he over here. Yeah, I heard he got that hot new thing. It's called...
Hey, welcome back to Superhuman Radio. My guest today is Dr. Peter Rouse, and we're talking about Dr. Louis Pasteur's theory on how germs cause disease and how wrong and erroneous they were and why the complete foundation of the medical industry is now based on this. Peter, let's talk a little bit about the germ theory and some of the evidence out there that it's incorrect.
Okay. Well, I mean, you look at the basis of the germ theory itself. The first point of the germ theory is that disease arises from microorganisms outside the body. What we have to remember is actually humans are more non-human cells than we are human cells.
What do you mean by that, non-human cells?
We have a unique ecology inside us. Remember, just look at the gut bacteria flora, for example. So within our bodies, we're actually made up of more cells of foreign bodies than we are of human cells.
Interesting.
So you take this in consideration, then if these diseases arrive from microorganisms outside the body, then there's no possible way we could get, you know, any kind of disease from the organisms within our body. That's flawed itself. If you look at common gastrointestinal disorders, look at, for example, E. coli. E. coli is naturally present in the gastrointestinal.
I know. That's why I always laugh when they say that people were killed by an outbreak of E. coli. And I'm thinking to myself, well, E. coli is in your intestines already.
Yeah, it's actually, it actually is regarded as what they call a bad bacteria, but it's actually an essential bacteria that was all about balance in the body.
And I have a theory about this thing. I have a feeling that there's a lot of E. coli on food all the time. So when someone gets sick and they test some food, they go, yeah, we found E. coli. But I'll bet you if they started testing all food randomly, even food that's not making anyone sick, they'll find E. coli.
Oh, there'll be some degree of E. coli on most, you know, unprocessed food. Processed food, maybe not so much because they do things like irradiate it, which pretty much kills everything, including the food itself.
Yeah,
so,
right.
And even then, it may be cross-contaminated anyway after that point. So the fact that our body is made up of more foreign cells than our own human cells, that kind of throws that whole theory out the window. You know, if you look at the cellular theory by Anton Bishop.
Bishop, right.
Yeah, he looked at disease arise from microorganisms within the cells of the body.
Right.
Which is actually, you know, a complete opposite of what Pasteur was saying. Well, actually, you know, Pasteur claimed he was the one who found that theory. You know, also another one is microorganisms are generally to be guarded against. So looking at, you know, bacteria being guarded against, this has kind of come back to that whole germ phobia. You look at children themselves who are protected from germs in the house, who are just like so guarded from germs, they have compromised immune systems.
Right. And you know what this makes me think of? And I was actually hoping, I'm glad you brought this up. If we look at what's going on right now with Monsanto's Ready Roundup pesticide and the Ready Roundup corn, mm-hmm. we see now that A, we're producing a new batch of super weeds that are resistant to the Ready Roundup, number one. Number two, we see that we're also now producing bugs that are resistant to the Ready Roundup spray as well. So what, and when you look at that, what you say is, in nature, whatever the downward pressure is, there is a response by what it is pushing down on to push back up. And so
you attack and it gets stronger. You attack a different way, it gets stronger in that way. The same thing is happening here. In fact, I would submit to you that our adherence to the germ approach to medicine is actually causing some of these super illnesses that we have out there, these antibiotic resistant strains, HIV and so on. I say that they are a response, a natural response to us going in that direction of trying to suppress exposure to these external biological agents. What would you say to that?
I mean, exactly. I'm completely in agreement with that. I mean, it's seen, it's obvious. If you look at the statistics even and all the figures, unscrewed figures that they haven't been adjusted, you know, to cover up the fact, then you can see the increase in these, diseases and states like you're talking about with AIDS and HIV, but even just the common strains of flu viruses that are now present.
What, well, you need to ask yourself, why does the flu keep mutating? Why does it keep changing into a different flu virus? Because we push back at it, and so it goes, because don't forget, the flu has a level of intelligence. I'm not saying that it can think and say, hey, I want to watch the news at 5 o'clock tonight, but it has a level of intelligence. Every living thing has a level of intelligence, and job one of every living thing from nano or particle organisms to human beings is to survive. And when you push down on survival, that intelligence goes, okay, I need to adapt and change so that I can push back. And guess what? That's why the flu keeps changing. And that's why every year they have a different strain of flu vaccine, which in my opinion promotes it. I say, leave the flu alone. Let the people get sick, build up the antibodies to deal with the flu. And that's the same flu that'll come back year in, year out. And guess what? You don't get sick anymore.
Well, you know, that's so true. I mean, it's seen evident that, they wouldn't be present unless they have the ability to adapt. We wouldn't be here if we didn't have the ability to adapt. The ability to adapt is why we exist today.
Right.
And as you say, every organism on this planet has that built-in ability to adapt to its environment. And if we change the environment by either introducing some kind of antibiotic, for example, if we're talking about any kind of bacterial infection, then of course it's going to adapt to that over a period of short time, because remember the lifespan and the life cycle of bacteria is far different of a human being. So that cycle of adaption is going to be, you know, a fraction of what we would be over, you know, how we've adapted over a million years may only happen over a matter of months with a bacterial infection. So, you know, that whole basis is why the whole germ theory is flawed, because you're going to be just a continuous battle on your hands that you can never win.
You know, I could swear that Randy Roach told me that it was Bichamp who actually drank a beaker of something. I forget what it was, but it was some sort of a strain of microorganism that was associated with a disease at that time. And he drank a beaker of it and did not get sick. And I just can't remember. I wish I would have reached out to Randy in anticipation of this show and asked him to tell me that story again.
You know, I think I do remember that. I read it probably about 10 years ago, or probably longer than that. So I can't recall the story exactly,
right.
I do remember something along that lines.
But, you know, one need only look at, you know, Florence Nightingale was a real person. She was a nurse who was associated with nursing because she did some marvelous things, including caring for people who had some of the worst diseases. I look at Mother Teresa, who cleaned the toilets of lepers and lived with lepers and did not develop leprosy. I mean, it was thought that leprosy was so contagious that when someone was diagnosed with leprosy, they moved them out of the town and onto an island where only lepers lived, because it was thought that this was an airborne disease that anyone could catch. So Mother Teresa lived with lepers, and she never got leprosy. Now, those of you who are spiritually minded will say, well, then God protected her, and so she didn't get the disease. I say, whether it was God or nature, gave her an amazing immune system, and she was resistant to these diseases because of her exposure to them.
Yeah, I mean, it's seen every day today. I mean, personally, I've had personal exposure to the bird flu when I was in Asia, a direct contact, and never picked up the bird flu or any other,
Well, didn't you tell me that you also worked with clients who had SARS?
Yeah. So, I mean, working with these, you know, these diseases out there and never picking them up, what saved me from picking them up? Apparently, they were so contagious that it was going to be a worldwide, you know, pandemic.
You know,
I was working directly with them and nothing happened.
Little known fact, there is a population of people living in Israel who are completely resistant to the HIV virus. They've been studied for the past several years now to try to determine what it is in their immune system that allow some of these people, many of these people, I take it back, almost all of them have the HIV virus in them dormant, and they A, do not succumb to it, and they B, do not pass it on. And so they're studying these individuals to see what it is about their immune system that makes them so unique that they can resist. And keep in mind, again, like I said about E. coli, well, sure, when there's an E. coli breakout and they test all of this food and they find E. coli on it, okay. But they're not testing food day in and day out randomly. They would find that same E. coli present on lots of processed, raw foods. Let's put it back, raw foods. But no one's getting sick. And the same is true of many of you. Many of you have come in contact with the pathogens that lead to disease, yet you haven't developed those diseases. Now, no one knows it because no one's tested you for these diseases and these pathogens. But I would submit to you that if you walked in to a doctor's office and said, I want to be tested for everything, tuberculosis, everything, they will find out that one or two of these things are resident in your body, but you never succumbed to it. You never got the disease. How could that be? If the germ theory is correct, exposure leads to disease, period, end of story. But it doesn't work out that way, does it?
No, and this is the whole basis of the vaccination process they're pushing on people now and actually trying to actually make it compulsory or put it into law. But, you know, if you look at, as you say, the germ theory looks at microorganisms are generally to be guarded against. And in fact, these microorganisms inside the cell actually is very important for function of different metabolic processes. So without these microorganisms, we wouldn't be here.
Right, right. And that's what you meant when you said these non-human cells in our body, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's do this. I want to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, I want to start the dialogue about vaccinations because you can't talk about Pasteur and his germ theory without talking about vaccinations. You're listening to Superhuman Radio. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. You already know how great the Testo 100 Transdermal Testosterone Boosting Patch is. Well, now it's even better. The new and improved Testo 100 patch now contains D-aspartic acid, stinging nettle root, and androstenotrione to increase free testosterone while reducing sex hormone binding globulin and aromatase enzyme. It's still made in FDA-certified labs and contains all the great ingredients that made it work originally. But now it's even better. Bypassing the stomach to deliver its ingredients throughout the day for greater increases in energy, libido, and muscle-building, fat-burning effects. Get 50% off when you use the coupon code SHR4. Go to AGEFORCE.com and use the coupon code SHR4 and get your new Testo 100 patch today. Your shaker bottle is the most important tool in meal planning. The convenience in being able to take a ready-to-drink meal on the road is a necessity. Too often our shaker bottle backfires on us, making what should be a convenience a disaster. Shaker Pro is the only shaker bottle in the world with a separate chamber to keep your protein powder dry until you're ready to mix it. Shaker Pro's patented design ensures that all of your powders will blend completely. Shaker Pro is BPA free. Go to forsportlife.com today. That's the number 4, sportlife.com. Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent, all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finest supplements are sold. For more information, information, check out GetDS.com.
All of your favorite supplements are waiting for you at the best prices and fastest customer service at OrbitNutrition.com. Even some of the more popular supplements advertised right here on Superhuman Radio. They carry All-American EFX, LG Sciences, and Primordial Performance products at the best prices on the net. Visit OrbitNutrition.com today and check out their complete line. Give them a chance to fill your order. You won't be disappointed. OrbitNutrition.com. The best supplements in the universe are at OrbitNutrition.com.
CoQ10 is known to ramp up mitochondrial function. PQQ is documented to increase mitochondrial biogenesis and size. Now get two of the most advanced anti-aging supplements in a single capsule. Brought to you by Dr. Peter Rouse, CoQ10 and PQQ combined will give your body the mitochondrial energy and production that you need. And to make this offer even better, Superhuman Radio listeners get 20% off when you call 310-895-5385 and mention that you heard it on Superhuman Radio.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. Wisechoicemedicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all.
Jumping higher, lifting more. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. I'm talking today with Dr. Peter Rouse. You can learn more about Dr. Peter Rouse by going to afperformancecenter.com. And he has a store there where you can find lots of amazing products as well. One advertised on this show is a combination of CoQ10 and PQQ, which is a fantastic anti-aging battery of supplements. All right, so let's talk about vaccines. You know, vaccines are a huge, huge money-making business for the pharmaceutical industry.
Massive.
They're looked upon as some of the good things that came out of medicine because they quote unquote keep people from getting diseases. They vaccinate babies. They vaccinate children. The reality is that how many of these children would actually get these diseases if they weren't vaccinated? Number one. Number two, what are the dangers of the vaccines themselves? So let's start with question one, Peter. Vaccines are like insurance. You know, you pay homeowners insurance to guard against fire, and you never have a fire your entire life. You spent all that money in the event that you should have a fire, but you didn't have a fire. What's the value of something like that? When you look at vaccines, how do we know that they're guarding us against the diseases unless we let some people go without getting them?
Well, part of the problem is that they skew the numbers anyway. We saw this with the H1N1 vaccine that they put out, two or three years ago, with the outbreak of H1N1, which was meant to be some pandemic that killed less people than the normal flu. But the whole point is that, you know, to get in the real numbers is actually very, very difficult. Trying to get the figures from the CDC, for example, of how many people died from the H1N1 who actually had received the vaccine.
Right.
They won't release that number, even though by law they have to release their figures. They will not release that figure.
Really?
So what are they hiding? You've got to ask yourself that. So you're asking, you know, what's the chance of getting the infection if you don't take the vaccine, but what we should be asking is what's your chances if you do take the vaccine, because you've actually been exposed to that infection or that virus through the vaccine itself. So therefore, you know, could it potentially increase your risk of getting that particular virus or disease? Or looking at it in a different way, is this suppressing the immune system so it's exposing you to other diseases and viruses that you may not have been exposed to before?
I think the real problem with vaccines is, okay, first of all, let's look at a vaccine. An attenuated vaccine takes the actual pathogen that it's guarding against, weakens it, let's say near death, and then implants it in your body so that the immune system, almost like the way a mama lion
will maul an animal so that it can't resist and then push it over to one of the baby cubs so the baby cub can, like, play with it and then eventually devour it. These attenuated vaccines take the pathogen and weaken it so that the immune system can kind of play around with it and then devour it. And it is thought that this allows the immune system to become stronger. But wait a minute. Wait a minute. Isn't that what we just talked about in the last segment of exposing yourself to these things so that your immune system can become stronger by and not trying to shield yourself from these pathogens that they're actually necessary for the body to come in contact with?
Well, actually, I love it when people bring up this point. If you look, okay, in most cases, yes, that's correct, that you get a very weakened exposure. But the problem is when you get a very weakened exposure, you're going to have a very weakened immune system response.
Right. You're going to have a response that is equivalent to the assault.
So when a real assault comes on, your body goes, okay, this is how I respond to this pathogen and what may be ever coming into the body.
Right.
So how does the body respond? With a minimal amount of response.
And that's why so many people who get vaccines still sometimes get sick.
I had I had some people who I was working with. I told them, don't get the flu vaccine, don't get the flu vaccine. The whole family got the flu vaccine.
The whole family got the flu.
Days later, the whole family was down with the flu.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, isn't this what you're meant to be protecting? And they say, oh, yeah, but it's going to protect me for the rest of the year.
Well, what do you mean? Why? People get – I've never gotten the flu twice in 1 year when I did get the flu.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, now we're, you know, with the improvement of what we're looking at with our health and how we're looking at cellular health, I mean, there's no reason to get any kind of illness.
I'll
ever get sick is if I get totally exhausted. If I have to work 4 or 5 days straight without sleep, of course, my immune system compromised. I'm going to get something.
But you know what? What we know about vitamin A and vitamin D now can prop your immune system back up to ward off these illnesses anyway.
Yeah, and you notice how they're fighting back against the whole vitamin D push that, you know, that we've been pushing the saying that, you know, we need more vitamin D, we need more vitamin D. I look at optimal levels being around about 80 to 100 nanograms per milliliter.
Right.
Now, to get that level is not easy for the average person these days because we don't get the amount of sun exposure that we'd normally get.
Right.
You know, in most cases, people don't get any sun exposure from day
right.
to day.
Right.
Because one, we were enclosed, and two, we're working indoors, most workers. On the average test I get back, if someone's not supplementing with vitamin D already, the average test I get back is in the 20s.
Yeah.
Now, they say 30.
They say 30 is the target, right?
30 is the target.
Right.
Now, anything above 30 is fine. The problem with that is that there's a ton of research showing that anything below 60 increases your risk cancer risk. So if you're looking at 30, wonder why they're pushing that number down and down. They're saying how it's toxic and dangerous. Show me the people who have been intoxicated from levels of vitamin D.
You know what?
That have been there in the millions of IU per day.
I took copious doses of vitamin D for about 5 months. Maybe I was foolish to do it, but I didn't notice any changes, anything that I would consider toxicity, any illness, any maladies whatsoever. I am now taking 10,000 IUs of vitamin D and 10,000 IUs of vitamin A every single day right now, on top of tablespoon of cod liver oil that has its own vitamin A and D in it. And I'm still waiting for the, I've been doing this for quite a while now. I'm still waiting for the toxicity to show up.
Well, the thing is with vitamin D toxicity, when you do reach it, stop taking it and it reverses.
Right.
Simple as that. And this is something I wouldn't recommend people do, but I actually tried this myself. I took 200,000 IU per day for 2 months. Nothing.
Really? No changes? No illness? No vomiting?
My levels ran up high. I mean, I did do, you know, blood work, and this was a while back. This was quite a while back, and you know, there was no negative effects, no side effects, none of these effects they're talking about. There's been one case where an individual got side effects, and they were taking 1 million IU per day because of misprinting on the label of the supplement. It was actually their own supplement brand that got misprinted and mislabeled. They were taking 1 million IU per day, and they got, you know, toxicity levels, and they just stopped taking it, and it reversed. How many people are going to take 1 million IU?
But what are the effects of toxic levels of vitamin A, for instance? They say nausea, itching, and vomiting. Is that really all it is?
Pretty much. I mean, if you keep taking it, of course, you're going to displace a lot of other nutrients and stuff like that. But, I mean, yeah, you start getting these symptoms, you're going to stop, right?
Right.
Unless you're kind of retarded, and then you probably deserve to be whatever happens to you. If you get a symptom from something you're taking, you're going to stop taking or back it off. This worst side effect of vitamin D may be some calcium leakage, maybe some other factors coming in there. But at this point, you know to back off. You're going to get symptoms which are going to be noticeable when you know that you've got to back off.
Yeah.
There's never been a case of anybody dying of vitamin D, ever.
Yeah.
Of any dosage, anyhow. Now, can the drug companies say the same about their pharmaceutical FDA-approved drugs?
No, none of them. None of them. They all kill somebody.
That's why we go back to the whole germ theory, is that why are these drug companies protected while they kill people, including with these vaccines, yet if we come out with these nutraceuticals that may be helping people, we get slammed, the FDA's trying to control this, everything else. What's going on there? Why is this happening? And it's all based on the AMA, the American Medical Association, which was established originally by the Rockefellers, of course, and we know the history of Rockefeller. So, the whole point is that, this has all been covered up over the past, century, basically, now, that the germ theory is false and it doesn't work.
Yeah. We have to take another commercial break. I really want to talk more about vaccines when we come back. There's really important information to discuss about vaccines. The way vaccines have been positioned as being the modern medical miracle. Really, Randy Roach was, again, I have to attribute his information to making me look into vaccines deeper years and years ago. But
his book's got some great information there.
What's that?
His book has got some
great information. Oh, yeah. Wait, and volume 2 just went to the printer, by the way.
I've been waiting for that one.
Yeah, volume 2 of Muscle, Smoke, and Mirrors just went to the printer, so I'm hoping to have a copy really soon. I'll probably get one of the first copies, I would hope, from Randy. But let's take a quick commercial break. When we come back, I want to talk more about vaccines. We're talking with Dr. Peter Rouse. Go to afperformancecenter.com today. Check him out. We'll be right back.
If you're like me, you avoid the insulin spike from eating pasta, but not anymore. Miracle Noodle is the world's first no-calorie, no-carbohydrate noodle. You heard me right. Now you can enjoy pasta dishes and stay on your low-carb diet. They have fettuccine, linguine, rigatoni, and more. Even angel hair pasta is now a no-calorie, no-carb food. And Miracle Noodle tastes great. So go to superhumanradio.com today and click the Miracle Noodle banner ad to learn more about how you can start enjoying pasta again, even when you're dieting. Find your miracle noodle at superhumanradio.com today.
That's the sound of 37 dumbbells. That's a lot of weight and a lot of wasted space when you can get the same thing done with just one set of power blocks. The new, quieter Urethane Series power blocks with FlexPin technology are the heaviest and easiest to use quick change dumbbells on the market. Starting at just $149 a pair, power blocks can grow as your strength grows, all the way up to 130 pounds per dumbbell. Imagine a whole rack of dumbbells in the space of just one pair with power blocks. Go to powerblock.com today or call 800-651-1937. Power block, the world's best dumbbell.
When you take real performance enhancing supplements, your body is placed under a lot of stress. Your organs need support. If you had to take a supplement for each of the potential side effects, estrogen conversion, blood pressure, liver protection, cholesterol control, water retention, androgen receptor upregulation, kidney function, and much more, you'd have to break the bank just to pay for it all. That's until Need to Build Muscle's N2 Guard. N2 Guard does all of this and more. It's the only real cycle support supplement that you'll ever need. Look, if your organs are important to you, buy N2 Guard today at needtobuildmuscle.com.
AnabolicMinds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your question. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio Forum is hosted. Visit AnabolicMinds.com today and get into the action. AnabolicMinds.com. Learn, teach, lead.
If you want to be superhuman, you can't eat junk. Finally, there's a protein bar that isn't just candy in disguise. Quest protein bars have 20 grams of protein, 4 to 5 grams of non-fiber carbs, and the only bars on the market with no sugar or sugar alcohols. I've never promoted a protein bar before, but these are delicious and unlike any other protein bars you've ever tried before. They're so good that Quest Nutrition is giving away 2 free bars to all my listeners, even free shipping. Go to superhumanradio.com right now and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to try them today. The fourth most abundant mineral in the body, magnesium, is responsible for 300 biochemical reactions, normal muscle and nerve function, proper heart rhythm, healthy immune system, and proper hormone levels. But most find taking oral magnesium problematic. Get optimum magnesium levels with transdermal magnesium oil from MikeMahler.com. Magnesium absorbed through the skin can elevate DHEA levels and a variety of other reactions that can increase energy, reduce muscle soreness, lose stomach fat, and ramp up heart health. Go to MikeMahler.com today. That's Mike, MikeMahler.com.
Get strong. Feel younger. It's Superhuman Radio.
Take it back.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. Just want to remind everybody, we had about a week where the Shaker Pro entry form was not working on the Superhuman Radio website. We're giving away 18 Shaker Pro bottles a month for the next 6 months. We're going to do the first drawing of August's names next week with Andy Hammond. You enter once, and you have multiple chances to win over the course of the next 6 months. These shaker bottles are fantastic. They actually keep the protein powder in a separate compartment, so you don't have to worry about your protein powder. You can actually put the protein powder and the liquid all in one bottle and run with it, and then you just twist the cap. The powder falls into the liquid. You shake it up, and you drink it. It's really a great shaker bottle. So go to superhumanradio.com and enter to win one of 18 Shaker Pro shaker bottles given away every month for the next 6 months. Enter once and win potentially many times. Okay, we're talking with Dr. Peter Rouse. I want to get back to vaccines for a second. There's been a unique phenomenon that was taught to me by Randy Roach, Dr. Rouse, and that was that almost all of the vaccines, diphtheria, measles, pertussis, all the vaccines that are hailed as being saving lives were introduced shortly after there was already a dramatic decline in the outbreak of these diseases. And other other vaccines like the polio vaccine and such, they weren't introduced until years later after the disease had went into remission and it wasn't an epidemic any longer. So how do these vaccines get, how is it that people believe that these vaccines were the reasons that these diseases subsided? Didn't they realize that these diseases were on the decline by the time these vaccines were introduced? And in some cases, were completely non-existent any longer when these vaccines were introduced?
Well, that's actually totally correct. The problem is that most people aren't aware of that. They've believe whatever's told to them on television, as we talked about before, the media is compromised by the drug industry. Therefore, you know, they aren't going to reveal that information. And there is actually plenty of sources of that data that prove that. So that is actually a complete fact that these vaccines weren't the saviors they made out to be. What's interesting is you're coming back to a little bit back before what you're asking about whether these vaccines actually do work. Interesting thing is about, you know, many schools require you to have vaccines, right?
Right.
They say that it's a requirement, which is actually, by the way, it's not by law. So if anybody's out there going to a school and it's a public school system, they aren't required by law to get the vaccines. You can get a waiver on that.
But usually it has to be a religious waiver. Right? Is that right or no?
No, you can be on the grounds that you don't, against all vaccines.
Really? I didn't know that. Okay, that's cool.
I did that with my green card. I didn't have to get any vaccines with my green card. I'm not on the basis of religious reasons, but on the basis I'm against vaccines.
I didn't know that. That's
so you
wonderful.
Don't have to be religious reason. The same can't be always said for private schools, because a private school there may be some loopholes there.
Yeah. It's not an entitled position when you go to a private school. Since you're paying, it's like a membership based thing, and they can make demands of you.
Okay, so they say you got to have vaccines. Why? Because if your kid comes to school with, you know, with, say, for example, chickenpox.
Right.
Or smallpox, for example, which is very, you know, not going to happen. But let's say he comes to school with smallpox. you don't have the smallpox vaccine. Then other kids are exposed to it. Well, who cares? They've had the vaccine. Aren't they meant to be protected? So why would they care if the kid's been vaccinated, had the vaccine or not?
Right.
What would it matter to them? If all these other kids have been vaccinated and the people who choose, which we have a right to in this country, well, at the moment we still have the right to choose whether we get vaccinated or not, or choose the type of medical treatment we get in most cases, then, you know, what business of theirs if we choose to take the risk of not getting the vaccine? We aren't putting them at risk if their claims are true that, you know, they are protected against these different diseases.
You know, there is evidence through research that shows that 80% of SIDS deaths occur in about the 2-week period after the diphtheria vaccine.
Correct, that's scary figures. And there's actually been cases where there was one guy who went to jail because they accused him of shaking the baby and causing the death of the baby, when in actual fact it was later proven that it was actually a vaccination.
Really?
He went to jail for probably 5-6 years or something. He was in jail for quite some time.
Because the brain was swollen? They said that the baby was shaken?
Yep.
Yeah. And, you know, a friend who is a high-level pharmaceutical person, we were talking, Elisa and I were talking about this with her, and she immediately retorted and said, well, they've discovered that SIDS is related to an irregular serotonin response in these babies, because serotonin fluctuations will make the baby wake up or turn its head if it can't breathe. And I said, really? I said, that's interesting. I wonder if they can follow these children who have this irregular serotonin response through life, the ones that don't die of SIDS, to see what other issues they have, maybe with depression and so on and so forth. She goes, well, no, it's idiopathic and it goes away after a few months. And I didn't get into it with her because she really is a staunch pharmaceutical supporter. But let's face it, she's made millions of dollars in the pharmaceutical industry. She's not going to say, yeah, I've made millions of dollars in an industry that really exploits and kills people. Of course, she has to believe what she's doing. But the reality is, why isn't it not possible that it's that vaccine that causes this short-term change in the serotonin landscape of the baby's brain?
Yeah, rather than looking at, you know, the serotonin levels being the cause, it may be the underlying cause is the vaccine.
Causing the serotonin irregularity.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, you see this across the board of different, for example, the autism issue with vaccinations. They say there's no link, you know, says who? The vaccination companies who produce the vaccines say there's no link. Yet there's a huge amount of evidence out there that shows that there is a link. There are people who come out against the vaccines and notice how they are so attacked personally. There was actually, his name slipped my mind at the moment. There was a British doctor, researcher who, linked it to certain gastrointestinal issues, which then linked to autism and other diseases.
Was this a female physician that you're talking about?
No, a male. I'm trying to remember his name. It's just on the tip of my tongue right now. Obviously, I haven't had enough coffee this morning. But anyway, he came out, this is several years ago, then recently a reporter did a report on it and say he falsified the evidence. Immediately, they withdrew his article, his published article. They did a reversal on that and everything else. The media came out and attacked him. It was later proved that the reporter, this is a reporter, not a researcher, falsified and lied, one. Also, they were saying that his research was never repeated again. Unknown to him, at the same time, approximately the same time, another researcher actually found the same results. Yet, for a matter of 6 months or so, he was attacked on mainstream media. And even to this day, I had a lecture where the lecturer actually stated that he was in prison, he never was charged, nothing like that. He was in prison for falsifying his data and fraud and all this type of stuff, when actual fact he's not. And actually, it's been, he's been acquitted of all kind of false,
So they not only did they trash him, but they said that he was then
He was then found guilty of some sort of infraction and jailed because of his statements. And all mm-hmm. he did was show the linkage between autism and vaccines.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. I mean, he was looking more gastrointestinal symptoms and how that links to the autism. And just because he proved it was only one particular vaccine too, because he only can do limited research, of course, on one particular vaccine. But if there's one vaccine that does it, and then the chances are the others are going to have some kind of influence there.
Right.
Yeah, he was bombarded with, the media assassination, basically, where they were trying to downplay it, and it was actually a reporter to start with.
Now, I wonder why would the reporter go out and assassinate this guy's credibility? Either he thought he was going to gain favor somewhere, or he thought, or he was gotten to by someone and said, look.
His paper. He was paid to.
Yeah, they have, let's face it. I was just having this discussion this morning in the sauna. When I was at Clear Channel doing my radio show, I was advertising for Dr. Mauro DiPasquale was one of my first advertisers, and we were supposed to advertise his LipoDissolve product. And Dr. DiPasquale has documented case studies of people using LipoDissolve and losing like 10 pounds in 10 days. But that's also following the LipoDissolve diet, which it's you take the supplement and then you eat a high protein, high fat diet along with it, and it accelerates the fat loss. And mm-hmm. I was told by my program director that I couldn't run the radio spots. And I said, why? And they said, well, the FTC frowns on anybody making these kind of claims. And I said, but and I went and looked at the FTC's information about radio claims as it relates to weight loss products. And if you can substantiate it, then you can. And I said, well, look, we've got all these case studies. The guy says, nah, we just don't want to do it. Okay, so that was one. Then another time I did a show where I was railing against a certain pharmaceutical company. And the next day I get a call from my program director. And he says to me, look, you got to be careful about what you say. We don't want to upset any of our advertisers. We have advertisers that company advertises with us. And I started to feel the pressure. I started to see, oh my goodness, I have to. And you know what? And people may say, well, that's no big deal. It is a big deal because as a radio host, I don't think about what I'm about to say. As many of you probably can tell, I put my foot in my mouth a lot. I don't think about what I have to say. I say what comes to my mind, and I'm not editing. I'm not attending my brain. It just comes out. And as a host of a radio show or a TV show, when you now have to have a mental checklist, oh, gee, if I say this, it could be interpreted as I am saying something against this company or that company. Now you can't do your job anymore. The whole idea is for me to be spontaneous and say what's on my mind. That was very clear when I was at Clear Channel. No pun intended. Yeah. And mainstream media.
That's the reason why you've done your own thing, right?
Right. And I mean, I'm doing my own thing because I have a better chance to be true to the issues. That's why. But anyway, getting back to the reason I told the story is because when you see some of this negative propaganda against things that make sense, but are clearly opposed to the medical orthodoxy or the pharmaceutical agenda, you have to question that media source. You have to say to yourself, wow, they have sold out. And most of them have. And you know what? Look what's going on right now over in the UK with the telephone tapping and hacking of people's voicemails and so on by Rupert Murdoch. I mean, I hope Murdoch gets nailed to the cross for this. I hope he does.
Do you think he's the only one?
No. It's widespread. The media is in bed. They're part and parcel with the problem because they carry the message to the masses, and they don't carry balanced messages. They won't carry these messages to the masses, but they'll carry the messages that their partners, the pharmaceutical companies and the food companies, want to get to the masses. So they're part of the problem. They really are.
Yeah. I mean, actually, just coming back, I remember the name of the doctor was Dr. Andrew Wakefield. If anybody wants to look up his history and the whole story behind him, when you go onto YouTube, you find a whole lot of media assassination against him. But nowhere did these media associations make a retraction.
Ever. They never retract. They never retract. They only assault. It's terrible. All right, let's do this. Let's take our last commercial break. And when we come back, we'll wrap it up with Dr. Peter Rouse. You're listening to Superhuman Radio. We'll be right back. Protein is the building block of muscle. Protein-rich diets have been shown to not only be heart-healthy, but also burn body fat through the thermogenic effect of protein in the digestive process. But getting enough protein each day isn't easy. That's why I use True Protein from TrueProtein.com. TrueProtein.com has an incredible variety of flavors. My favorite is chocolate coconut. And you can even create your own custom blend. Mix whey, casein, and egg, or throw in a little beef isolate. And you can save 5% off the already low price when you use the coupon code SH Radio. Visit TrueProtein.com today and let them know Carl sent.
I've never felt a pump from taking a supplement. That's until I tried creatine nitrate from APS Nutrition. I expected to feel nothing, just like the NO supplements I had taken before. But this stuff really does work. Even taking below the recommended dose, I could feel the sensation of tighter muscles under the swelling effect of the pump. And the pump lasts for a few hours. It worked for me and I was a skeptic. Check out creatine nitrate by visiting APSNutrition.com today. Try it and you'll be a believer too.
PQQ10 is known to ramp up mitochondrial function. PQQ is documented to increase mitochondrial biogenesis and size. Now get two of the most advanced anti-aging supplements in a single capsule. Brought to you by Dr. Peter Rouse, CoQ10 and PQQ combined will give your body the mitochondrial energy and production that you need. And to make this offer even better, Superhuman Radio listeners get 20% off when you call 310-895-5385. And mention that you heard it on Superhuman Radio. Your shaker bottle is the most important tool in meal planning. The convenience in being able to take a ready-to-drink meal on the road is a necessity. Too often, our shaker bottle backfires on us, making what should be a convenience a disaster. Shaker Pro is the only shaker bottle in the world with a separate chamber to keep your protein powder dry until you're ready to mix it. Shaker Pro's patented design ensures that all of your powders will blend completely. Shaker Pro is BPA-free. Go to 4sportlife.com today. That's the number 4. Sportlife.com. 6-Oxo is back thanks to Iron Mag Lab, the gold standard for testosterone boosting and estrogen reduction that all other over-the-counter aromatase inhibitors are compared to is 6-Oxo progesterone. 6-Oxo is the active ingredient in the new E-Control RX from Iron Mag Labs. Iron Mag Labs has resurrected the beast that has been clinically shown to raise free testosterone by as much as 226%. As men age, estrogen rises and testosterone drops. E-Control RX can help reverse this from happening. E-Control RX is suitable for post-cycle therapy to jumpstart natural testosterone production. Get E-Control RX today. Go to IronMagLabs.com today.
From the most advanced supplement company on the planet, Primordial Performance, comes the new Andro series. Andro Lean is a thermogenic aid that will promote lipolysis and incinerate body fat. Andro Mass creates explosive gains and is highly anabolic. Andro Hard will turn your muscles into granite hard stone while increasing sex drive and maximizing strength. The Andro series represents the most advanced delivery systems available anywhere. These are non-methylated and completely liver safe and non-toxic. Buy one or stack all of the new Andro series products today at primordialperformance.com.
Your radio just got ripped. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. You know, and we're constantly being bombarded with people and agencies and advertising to tell us that we should vaccinate, vaccinate, vaccinate. If you don't, if in your mind and in your heart you realize that the germ theory is flawed, and you have to, if you recognize that there are people who come in contact with sick people and don't get sick in hospitals everywhere today. It's going on right now. You don't even have to go back to Mother Teresa or Florence Nightingale. You can look at the people who survived the plague, the people who survived some of these widespread epidemics that killed hundreds of thousands of people. And many of them came in contact with these diseases, and they didn't catch them. So once you realize that the germ theory is flawed, regardless of what you believe is really going on there, you have to question the concept of vaccination, because vaccination is founded in part and in parcel with the germ theory. Are vaccines even safe, Peter?
Well, that's a very good question. The thing is that if they're so safe, why are the drug companies all giving waivers and protection against being sued from anybody harmed from vaccines?
Yes,
why would they
good
need
question.
This waiver if that was the case?
That's a great question. And they always do want that waiver, don't they?
Yeah. Yep. And it exists right across the board. So that's the only thing I just have to ask. I mean, we know these are unsafe and we've seen cases and cases, but the obvious evidence is why are they given waivers if it's so safe? So obviously it can't be safe. And that's the end of discussion.
Right. Right. And that, and good. I'm sorry.
No, you go ahead.
I was going to say the issue with vaccines, the information that is always suppressed, the information that is always played down or downplayed by the mainstream media is the number of people who are affected negatively by vaccines. I love the way pharmaceutical industry executives will tell you, well, this is a very, very, very small percentage of all the people who receive vaccines. You know what? Tell that to one of those people who falls into that small percentage. Tell that to them who are, now their lives are ruined. These young girls who are developing chronic fatigue disorders as a result of the HPV virus vaccine, Gardasil. Now they're trying to convince parents to give Gardasil to their male offspring.
Did you see the post that I put up about them trying to make that by law that you only have to get parent consent in California to give that vaccine?
Really? So if the parent doesn't give consent, then the school
can still do it.
They can still do it.
Yep. So basically what they're saying is that they don't require parent consent now. Well, this is the law they're trying to put through for the vaccine. And that's kind of going against the whole Constitution, isn't it?
Do you think they'll get that on, Peter?
Unfortunately, I think they may. They may get this one through. Unless enough people stand up against it. And that's why I posted it up there and trying to get people to rally up against it. But it's got a lot of money behind it. So you that know, could be the case where it does come up and actually ends up. This is why I've been pushing Ron Paul so much, because he's so much against this, practice. And if you look at what Ron Paul's got in his agenda for the FDA, then of course the FDA don't want him in there, because basically he's going to dismantle FDA.
I think I'm with him there. I mean, the FDA needs to be dismantled completely.
Yeah, it's crazy that they have so much power over this, and it's all based on, where, like you've said so many times, who's their customer?
Yeah.
Not the public.
Well, the number of people that are made ill by vaccines is a very, very large and significant number. And when the pharmaceutical argument is, yes, but it's a very small number compared to all of the people that get vaccines, then when you now that sounds impressive if vaccines are actually doing something. But then when you realize that all of these vaccines were introduced at a time where the diseases that they were designed to protect against were on the downside, or in complete remission, they were gone, like polio. You ask yourself, what value is a vaccine if it does not protect against the disease, number one? Then the casualties that are getting sick, that number is much more significant. Because if the vaccines were really protecting against something, then you would say, look, 10,000 people get the vaccine, 100 of them, their lives are ruined. The balance of them are protected for life against a disease. It's a crapshoot. Do you want to try it against the vaccine, or you want to try it against the disease? But they're not protecting against anything. They are not. And in fact, in third world countries where people are not getting these vaccines, they're not developing a lot of these diseases. Is polio on the rise in third world countries? No, it's not. I looked
this
morning.
They go in there and give them other vaccines that actually contain the polio virus. They actually been caught doing that.
Well, look what they did in the Philippines. They quote unquote were offering vaccines to economically underserved areas, and they were actually sterilizing some 5,000 women, so those women couldn't get pregnant again. They lost that case. No one talks about that. 5,000 women were sterilized without realizing it because some power that be said, you know, we these people shouldn't be procreating. They're so poor. We need to make this decision for them.
Well, the Australian government did that to the Aboriginals in Australia too.
Really?
So this is not something that's unique to the United States either. It's a worldwide problem, and it goes beyond that. I mean, it's insane how they make Pasteur look like the hero and the savior. Yet, how many people died from Pasteur, his experiments, his vaccination at the time?
Well, let's carry this
his
argument.
His first vaccination was almost 90% of the people who he gave the vaccine to died.
Really?
That's a very good success rate now, isn't it?
I didn't know that. I did not know that. Let's also look at the fact that it's thanks to him that we now have pasteurized milk, because if he had not come up with the germ theory and then found out that heat kills germs, pasteurization would have never been an alternative for raw unpasteurized milk. And instead, then, the swill milk epidemic, instead of leading to the introduction of pasteurization to milk, would have just put a bunch of distilleries out of the business. And we would still have raw unpasteurized milk as the staple and norm. So, I mean,
well, if pasteurization worked, then why do they need to add all these other chemicals to the milk store to kill off all the germs?
Yeah.
All the bad bacteria and everything.
That's a good point. So anyway, you need to do your own thinking, everybody out there. Use your critical thinking skills. Ask yourself why people don't get sick when they come in contact with germ-causing diseases while other people do. And you'll realize that it has more to do with your body than the illness. And once you realize that, then focusing on making your body stronger through proper nutrition, through exercise, through proper supplementation, through adequate amounts of sleep, then you are doing yourself a great service and avoid vaccines and fight against vaccines for your children as well. I predict that if vaccines went away tomorrow, these diseases would not come back that we have, we're vaccinating for. We would not have outbreaks of diphtheria. We would not have outbreaks of measles. Those diseases were actually in remission by the time those vaccines were introduced. They were already gone.
I would go as far as saying if you removed all vaccines, you'd see a decrease in the load on the actual entire health system.
Because a lot of these vaccines are precipitous. They're causing disease, you're saying, later on in life?
Yeah, especially immune system, all these other factors that come into it. I think they're a huge factor in the number of diseases and illnesses that are seen today.
Yeah, it's very possible. Just look at what Ready Roundup corn did to creating super weeds and now a super bug that's resistant to it. It makes sense. It happens in nature. We are part of nature. We keep forgetting that. We think that we're smarter than nature. We're somehow above nature. It's not true. Not true. Hey, Peter, I want to thank you so much for coming on the show today.
Yeah, you're welcome. Good show.
All right, and we'll see everybody tomorrow with another episode of Superhuman Radio.